Many of you will know, if you're part of the church here, that over these last few weeks, I have been undertaking a mini survey, asking a few questions of those who worship on a Sunday and also our midweek groups such as Pop In and Midweek Fellowship and BATS and the English Language Group. And one of the questions I asked was this on the survey: name a colour you associate with Christmas. And you may be surprised to discover that of the 116 people who completed my survey, only 5 people put white. When it comes to Christmas, very few of us are thinking, let alone dreaming, of a white Christmas. And some of you will be very glad to hear that it's not predicted that it's going to snow on Christmas Day. And some of you, rightly, are deeply disappointed. So, in order to try and get you a little bit more into a white Christmas, we're going to watch a song that was presented many years ago, 2005 in fact, on Anton Deck's Saturday Takeaway, and is by far the best version, in my opinion, of this song. Thank you, Chris.
Hi, Rob.
Hiya, hi, lads.
See the quiet, quiet set up, Rob? It's look good, don't they?
Yeah, they're brilliant.
Very good.
They look good. Sound good as well. Listen to that. Now, listen, Rob. Anything you want to sing, Neil follow.
Anything.
But I have a beard.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Anything you want to sing, Neil be able to follow. They're the best in the business.
All right, then. Well,
fancy.
I got it.
Yeah?
You ready?
Okay.
Okay.
Sing, they'll follow. Anything you sing.
Okay, let me gather myself. There we go. Okay. To three.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
What's it white, not red or green? Why is Christmas in
heaven? Yeah!
Just like once I used to know you.
Yeah. treetops glisten and children listen to hear the sleigh bells in the snow.
Okay, so a white Christmas. Maybe you're now a little bit in the mood of a white Christmas. A lot of people don't like white because it's somewhat bland cover, as well as it kind of reminds them of the snow. But if you're technical, you know that white light is actually made up of all the colours. And if you pass white light through a prism, it disperses the light into different colours because different colours travel at different speeds of light, and so therefore they're refracted separately. So a prism splits white light into red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. This is an image at the top of my stairs. The image on the left is what I normally see through my eyes, but if I look at it through a prism, you see it starts to break down colours a little bit. Kind of can't see it too well on this screen, but I get little rainbows on the wall when I start to look through a prism. And all of these colours of the spectrum can remind us of different things that we might want to consider at Christmas. So, for example, the red, first colour that is seen when it splits, because it's slowed down the least in the prism, is red. And interestingly, in my survey of 116 people associated with this church, I asked to name a colour associated with Christmas. How many said white? Can you remember? Five. Whereas 81 of them said red. So nearly 70% of the people who were surveyed, and maybe if you're doing the survey in your mind now, you would have said red as well. And when it comes to Christmas, I guess that's because Santa Claus wears red, and the band wears red when it plays at Christmas on their head, and we have red tinsel perhaps on our trees, and red ribbons on our presents, and red wrapping paper, maybe red berries on the holly, and many people have very red eyes as a result of a little being a bit too much merry, perhaps, at Christmas. So it's not surprising, perhaps, that red gets the top marks in the survey. And if you want to hear any more results from our survey and play a little game of family fortunes with those results, then come to our Christmas all-age service at 10 o'clock next Sunday morning, because that's what we'll be doing. So if you don't get it right, and whatever happens when you do, who knows, come and find out. So what about the other colours of the spectrum? Well, orange, there is a tradition, and maybe this is something that you will do this year, is you will put an orange into a stocking. Maybe that's something you never heard of before, or maybe say, of course, why wouldn't you do this particular thing? And some have suggested it started way back in the 1930s, in the days of the Depression, because fruit was a very luxurious item, so it's a special treat to look in your stocking and get an orange in that. Others suggest it goes back further to St. Nicholas, who gave out gifts to the poor. On one occasion, he gave 3 gold balls to a poor man whose daughters couldn't marry because they couldn't afford the dowries. And so apparently, as the story goes, Saint Nicholas tossed the gold down the man's chimney, and his daughters had hung their stockings onto the chimney, and the gold balls fell into the stockings. And people thought, what a lovely thing that Saint Nicholas has done. And so every year, not gold, but we'll put oranges into the stockings. Whether that's true or a myth, I don't know. It's a nice story, I suppose. These things have to start somewhere, and maybe that's where they started. What about the colour yellow? Some of us would have thought of Christmas and yellow, maybe the yellow glow of the flames of candles, as we see this evening, or toasting marshmallows on the flames of a fire, or maybe the warm glow of the lights on the tree or around our houses. What about the green? In our survey, the second highest when asked to name a colour, was green, with 16 people putting that as their answer. And maybe in their mind they had the Christmas tree or the Christmas wreath, the garlands, or maybe they had sprouts in their minds, looking forward to getting them in their bellies. I don't know. Maybe green, however, might be a little bit more cryptic. Maybe green is associated with living things, and it reminded folks of our family are coming, family and friends spending time with other people. What about the colour blue? This can come to mind, particularly in the weather we've had over this last week, freezing cold, you know, fingers perhaps having to wear gloves, otherwise they'll go blue. Or you might recognise the term blue Christmas. That's associated with sadness and loss. Singing the blues is often associated with the idea of experiencing difficulty, and this year particularly, people will be experiencing difficulty because of the huge rise in energy costs and the cost of food. And for many, it will be a blue Christmas. In addition to that, many will be struggling not only to make ends meet, but just dealing with the emotional sadnesses associated with this time of year, because it reminds them that someone who they dearly loved are not with them this year. And the final colours of the spectrum, two purpley ones, the indigo and violet. Purple is often associated with royalty, and of course we would normally at this time of year be looking forward to the Queen's message at 3 o'clock on Christmas Day, and for the I think that's happened every day of my life except 1969, when I don't think it was shown, because that was the year that Prince Charles was became Prince of Wales. I don't think she did one on television. But ever since then she had, and this year for the first time in my lifetime, in many of our lifetimes, the message will be brought by the King of England. So a very different year for us this year in that area to do with royalty. And the other, the purple, is the violet. And of course, purple in royalty, at the very heart of the Christmas message, is to let us know that Jesus has come into the world. It's his birthday that we're remembering, and Jesus was born King of the Jews and Saviour of the world. And in order to be that Saviour, as an adult, he took upon himself the punishment for our sin and allowed himself to die in our place. And as part of that suffering leading up to the crucifixion, the Bible says that the soldiers mocked him, because he was called the King of the Jews by people. And so it says in Mark's Gospel, verse 15, chapter 15, verse 17 to 18, they put a purple robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Jesus was born to die. And I think this particular image, I think, is quite meaningful, a picture of the Christmas wreath and a crown of thorns, reminding us that Jesus came into this world and he is the reason for the season. So when it comes to considering the colour of Christmas, I guess we might support one or the other ends of the spectrum. We might focus most of the time on kind of the red area, the kind of the presents, the food, the decorations, the family get-togethers, or we might focus on the other side, the nativity in our schools or in our church, on our baptistries or our inflatable ones in the foyer, in case you didn't notice, these all around us. Or maybe we might just mix all of these together. And just have a little bit of all, everything, just to be able to make it. The whole spectrum of Christmas, all brought together whenever we come to celebrate. The Christmas that involves the joy of giving presents and love to one another, and remembering the joy of the gift of Jesus given to us by God. But the story doesn't end there. Just as the electromagnetic spectrum doesn't end with visible light. Visible light is just the central part of the spectrum, but there's other waves that are part of the spectrum that we don't actually see. So we have, towards the red end, we have infrared. And many of us will be using that to scan through television channels on our remote controls. Or the microwaves to warm up some food over this Christmas season. Or for a long time, we've had radio waves all in the air, where we can bring radio into our houses and television into our houses, and now mobile phone signals and Wi-Fi and smart meters and all sorts of electronic gadgets. We can't see any of these waves, but we can experience the benefit of them as they are picked up by different machines. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we have ultraviolet. If you're wanting to have a fake suntan, you're likely to put yourself in the company of ultraviolet. Or if you want to dry your nails after they've been painted, you might use some kind of machine to dry them up. That may well be ultraviolet. If you want to detect whether or not the money you get at Christmas is forged, you might put it under some kind of that ultraviolet scanner that you just happen to have in the drawer in the kitchen. Or if you have been eating some very hard sprouts, you may have to go to the dentist, and some of the fillings that will be put into your mouth are often kind of set with a little ultraviolet tool that the dentist has. And then there's x-rays. Probably all of us in our lifetime at least have seen one, if not had one of these taken, to go beyond the skin surface and be able to see what's going on below the surface in our bones. And then we get to gamma rays, which are used to sterilize medical equipment and will help you to become a superhero. Because gamma rays produce the Fantastic Four, they produce the Spider-Man, the Incredible Hulk, and a number of the superheroes whose molecular structure is transformed when they're exposed to too many of those things. So be warned this Christmas, unless you want to look like the Hulk. So all of these rays are outside of our ability to see them, but they're still there, and they're affecting us, and we can benefit from them. And I think as we celebrate Christmas, focusing on all the wonderful things that we can see, it's helpful to remember that God is working behind the scenes, out of sight, working for our good and for his pleasure. And he knows all of our situations that are hidden from everybody else. People might see lots of things. They might use their senses of sight, touch, taste, smell, and hearing. But God is doing lots more that maybe we don't always easily perceive through our human senses. When Jesus was born as one of us, he was saying to the world, saying to you and saying to me, I am interested in my creation. Some religions picture God as being an unknowable, distant being, a distant force, an impersonal presence that starts things going and then detaches himself away and doesn't get involved at all in what he's created. But the Christian message is that God became flesh. God became one of us because he's interested in us and he wanted to live among us and do something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves, which was to be made right with God. He loves us. He's interested in your life. He knows your story. He knows where you've come from, he knows where you are now, and he knows where you're heading. He's interested in the lives of those who he's made and understands the experiences that we're going through. Being born as one of us, he knew what it was like to be a refugee. So he understands those who face the need to flee from their country out of fear for their lives. He knew what it was to be homeless, so he understands those who find difficulties today with finding permanent housing. He knew what it was to live in poor conditions, so that he understands how it feels when we find it difficult to make ends meet. He knew what it was to be physically tired, and therefore he understands our weaknesses and weariness. He knew what it was like to feel physical pain. Therefore, he understands the agonies that we can face through physical disability or limitation. He knew what it was to be tempted in every way. So he understands how we are feeling when we face temptation to do things that are wrong. He knew what it was to experience the betrayal of a friend. So therefore, he understands when we feel so hurt by the cruel actions of somebody else towards us. And he knew what it was to experience grief over the loss of a close friend. Therefore, he understands the emptiness that we may be feeling because someone close to us has died. He understands. He knows what's going on in our lives under the surface. The feelings, the fears, as well as the hopes and the dreams. They may be hidden to God, to others, but not to God. For he sees the whole spectrum of our lives. Every colour, including the blues. So be encouraged this Christmas, remembering that he cares for us and wants us to welcome him into every aspect of our lives, the tough times as well as the triumphs. He wants to encourage us also to have that same caring attitude towards others. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you understand. Thank you understand us and are fully knowledgeable of what challenges we are facing. Thank you for all the things we have seen you do in our lives and in the lives of others. And the work that you have done behind the scenes, providing for us, protecting us, guiding us in ways that often we only really appreciate much later in the future when we look back. And then we can see how you've been leading us, paving the way before us, and often clearing up after us. May we this Christmas appreciate you for the things unseen as well as the seen. And where we may sense that our lives feel mostly grey, may we allow your light to shine in them and restore the colour back to what once was. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.